This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Well, I think we got Brian Kilmeade coming up tomorrow for a visit. They still have, you know, we're selling this show that he's going to do on the 22nd extremely well. It's a variety show. I was actually told today that I'm going to play a little bit of a part. Brian's been teasing that, and I found out some details, so we may discuss that tomorrow. But there are VIP tickets available, so if you have tickets to the show, you can add on the VIP if you go to BrianKilmeade.com. It's an opportunity to sit with Brian, well, not to sit with him, but to meet him before the show. They come with a pre-signed copy of Teddy and Booker T. That's his most recent book. Of course, Bob and Tammy Khrushchev, the Retirement Advisory Group, sponsoring the event. So there are regular tickets available. It's at the Factory in Chesterfield. There's a couple hundred left. We're expecting to sell out. The VIP tickets will go eventually as well. But if you go to BrianKilmeade.com, you can purchase those. We have an audio cut of the day coming up here before the end of the hour. I have a good friend, actually a former roommate of mine, Don Vickner, old radio guy, too. He's down in Houma, Louisiana, Louisiana. And I only call Don when there's a hurricane. He always teases me about that. He's like, you only want to talk to me when there's a hurricane. I have him on the radio. That's kind of like Dave Simons. We only talk when things have gone to hell on Wall Street. Right, Dave?
I'm your man. That's right. When the world is cracking up, you call me.
Yeah, that's right. Dave does a show over on the other side of the building, the host of Dollars and Cents. He's the managing director of One Private Wealth in Chesterfield. So, look, I've learned over the years that sometimes you got to wait. There's corrections. You got to be patient. I've seen the market bounce back very, very quickly, even in the past couple of years. But these are big numbers, big red numbers, so people get nervous. And I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous.
Well, yeah, you know, Wall Street, of course, doesn't like uncertainty, and there is so much uncertainty. But, Mark, I mean, kind of to your point, look, if something is announced tomorrow and the president says, look, I've been talking to so-and-so in that particular country, and he or she has agreed to do this, so we're going to pull the tariffs back, we're going to push it, then all of a sudden the market responds and goes up. I mean, that's just the kind of world in which we live. So, typically, I feel like I have a pretty good handle on sentiment. I have a pretty good handle on maybe where trends are going. I got to be honest, I have no such confidence now because it's really in the hands of various governments and their leaders and how they're all approaching this growing tariff war.
Yeah, so you got the tariff war. We may have a government shutdown. You have the situation with Ukraine. There's a lot of things going on at one time. Now, I'll be honest, Dave, the whole tariff stuff is not something within my little tiny brain's, you know, ability to understand because I know the pros and the cons. I see what's happening. To me, a lot of it seems like show. You even had Doug Ford up there today in Canada slapping a 25% tariff for three states that get electricity from Canada. Well, then they backed off on that because Trump has backed off in certain areas. It's kind of hard to keep track of all this, too, isn't it?
It is, and that's and same with us investors. And on my side of the fence, frankly, Mark, as a professional manager, in terms of making sense of it, I will say in our little corner of the world, we started getting defensive a couple of months ago. And that's purely because the market seemed to be priced to perfection. There was a lot of hype coming in with the Trump administration coming in, and in my opinion, rightfully so, because this was going to be very pro-business and regulations were going to be cut, and perhaps we've got some corporate tax cuts still in the offing, so this is all very good. The market was responding favorably, but then I started to see, Mark, that the giddiness was getting to be a little bit too much. And so I thought, we just need to pull back a little bit here and not buy into it. I had no idea that it would sell off quite this much. So I'm glad we got defensive, but I would tell any investors listening now, I wouldn't overthink this. Just make sure your own plans are in place. I don't think we're going to have some kind of big crash or a bear market or anything. I think cooler heads will prevail. But here in the near term, you are going to have to fasten those seatbelts, because I don't think this is over yet.
Well, you also have, you know, even Trump on Sunday on the Sunday show is not ruling out a recession. And you can't, because there are some forecasts for negative growth in the first quarter. Now, technically, the definition is two quarters in a row, right? Negative growth. We might have that, but there's still, you know, we thought we were going into recession 3 years ago, and that never happened, never manifested itself.
That's exactly right. And so for the first time, you're right. In the first time in a year or two, we're starting to hear that dreaded R word. And, you know, it's possible. Look, if this thing gets dragged out, because, Mark, here's the deal. With President Trump, he is a business guy through and through. I mean, he knows how, he's the art of the deal guy. He doesn't really worry so much about the economics of it. He doesn't really care about that. He doesn't get into the weeds of that kind of stuff. And that can be problematic, because there are unintended consequences for this kind of a business approach to a multi-trillion dollar economy, because of the tentacles that spreads into so much more of the economy. So you've got people with very large corporations. I know some of these CEOs, and they're saying, we are not hiring right now. We don't know what things are going to look like for a few months. And if we get any kind of a bout of a return of inflation because of higher prices in this little tariff war, then that is also problematic. So that's why I'm saying, I don't know the end game here, but we're not there yet.
Yeah, and you know, that's what it makes it difficult, because the tariffs are very difficult to, I think, to understand, and there's so many nuances to them. For example, the last time Trump did this, and my understanding is maybe there's not going to be as many carve-outs, but there were some carve-outs, there were exceptions made. I know Australia, for example, is looking for a carve-out here on some of the, it might be aluminum. So in the end, maybe there's going to be some deals cut. I just don't know how it all kind of settles down, and in the end, manifests itself in a better U.S. economy with more manufacturing here, because that's really the promise.
That is. I think this is a little unnecessary, at least the way that we're going about it, the approach. I looked at a chart recently. It's very interesting, Mark, that it's the percentage of tariffs that we put on other foreign countries, which for decades has been historically low. Even though we know, yes, do some countries take advantage of us? Absolutely. China probably being number one. They take advantage of Americans' insatiable appetite to consume. So we run a deficit, believe it or not, with more than 100 countries. We do not run a trade surplus with very many countries. And yet, despite all that, we have continued to emerge as the world's number one economic superpower, even with people perhaps taking advantage of that. So if you say, well, we're not going to do that anymore, and we're going to make it an even playing field, my worry is the medicine worse than the virus itself? And
well,
that,
it could
that's
be.
My concern.
I have that concern as well. Look, Howard Lutnick is the Commerce Secretary. He says over the weekend that, and I get everyone's going to be on the same page right now, right? The president's tariffs will make some foreign products more expensive, but American products will get cheaper. I don't think that's how it works, really. And, you know, you're going to have people, first of all, if you use foreign components and you're a manufacturer here, you're going to have to raise prices anyway, or you're going to have to swallow, you know, fewer profit margins. So some of the claims here, and I'm not an expert on the economy or tariffs, but some of the claims here seem very unrealistic.
Well, you don't have to be an expert, Mark. You hit the nail on the head, really. This is Econ 101. Tariffs are inflationary. They are a tax on products. Now, you could say, well, this is just going to bring more business and more jobs and more manufacturing here to the U.S. That's fine. But you're also not going to pay those employees $2.50 an hour, like you get from a lot of the cheap products that we import. So you have to really, I'm all for targeted tariffs. There's no question we've been taken advantage of in certain areas, especially from China. You go there. But this whole thing, you walk into the room with a chainsaw and with a howitzer. I know that that's Trump's style of governing. It served him well in private business, but I really question it in the manner that it's going about now.
Well, look, I think even Trump might be questioning some of it. I've talked about this even a couple of times today. There was some interesting reporting on Friday from the New York Times about a cabinet meeting that took place. I think it was even on Wednesday evening, where there was a lot of pushback to some of the stuff from Secretary Rubio and also Sean Duffy at Transportation. So, and at that meeting, it was said that there's going to be more of a scalpel approach as compared to the, burn everything down. Do you, though, Dave, do you have any understanding? One of the things I see out there on social media, I've had people share this with me on Twitter, for example, and there's been some memes that have been shared. When it comes to our tariffs on Canada, people are like, wait a second, look at all these tariffs that Canada does to us, 250% to 390% on dairy products. How do you even come up with those numbers of 250%? Because that sounds like large amounts, but you're probably doing 250 or 390% on what, just 20 cents or 30 cents?
Yeah,
because otherwise the numbers would be astronomical.
Question. Yeah, I look, I'm a free market capitalist through and through, and I say let the free market figure this out. So if indeed there's really some 250% tariff on a particular product, to your point, well, what's the product? What's the cost?
Yeah.
Why is it there? And yet, I get back to my point, we're not only the number one economic superpower in the world, but we have continued to widen the gap. 10 or 15 years ago, we were about 50 to 55% of the world's market capitalization. We are now 74%. That's an interesting number. If we're being so taken advantage of economically, why has the gap in productivity and market capitalization widened? So that's why I get back to the fact that I think targeted tariffs are fine, but this whole go in and with a scalpel, or not a scalpel, but basically with a ball peen hammer and hit every other country between the eyes and then see who cowers first. It's not the way that I think Wall Street wants, for sure, and Wall Street is speaking loud and clear with these big declines we've been getting.
I mentioned at the beginning, Mr. Ford up there in Ontario, who was very, very livid about the Trump tariffs, was talking about 25% on electricity for three states. He pulled that back. Lutnick's going to meet with some of these guys Thursday, so maybe some of this settles down for now, but it has been crazy, and I think there are realistic concerns out there. But Dave, always great to have you on. I really appreciate it.
Mark, as always, next time we'll talk as the market rebounds.
That's right. Hopefully that'll be like by Friday. That's my hope. By the way, on the topic of the tariffs, there was part of this that I didn't really understand today. So this got a little interesting in the briefing room. Carolyn Leavitt was taking questions, and this was a guy from the AP. I'm sure that someone's written a story about this. Let me just Google, because, the media loves to cover themselves. So this AP reporter, of course, this is written about. All I had to do was Google. I was just trying to find this guy's name. He asked a question. I'll find his name after the question. Here we go. Here's what it sounded like.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
If we could just step back for a second, when President Trump last addressed the BRT when he was on the campaign trail, His big push was on tax cuts. Mm-hmm. He's going there today as he's proposing tax hikes in the form of tariffs.
I'm curious
he's prioritizing that over the tax cuts.
All right, so this is just so you know. So this guy is Josh Boak, and he's making the case. Now, Carolyn pushes back on this. I'm not sure she gets all this right, but she's making the case that the tariffs aren't a tax. Essentially, the tariffs are taxed. The American companies, if they have to pay the tariffs on Canadian companies or Chinese, whatever the situation, they're not going to just absorb that. They're going to pass it along to us. That could be inflationary. I mean, that's my economic theory, but here's the answer.
It's actually not implementing tax hikes. Tariffs are a tax hike on foreign countries that, again, have been ripping us off. Tariffs are a tax cut for the American people. And the president is a staunch advocate of tax cuts. As you know, he campaigned on no taxes on tips, no taxes on overtime, no taxes on Social Security benefits. He is committed to all three of those things, and he expects Congress to pass them later this year.
Okay, a couple things about that. First of all, the guy from the AP is not all worried about the Trump tax cuts that need to be extended so then everyone in America doesn't have to pay more taxes, right? He's very narrowly focused here on the tariff issue, and he says something that I don't really understand. We'll see if you can understand it.
Sorry, have you ever paid a tariff? Because I have.
That's
they don't get charged on foreign companies. They get charged on the importers.
Okay, now that's true, but when he says, this guy from the AP says, have you ever been charged a tariff? I have. Well, I've not been charged a tariff directly. I mean, does he have a manufacturing company? Maybe he does. Maybe he's just an AP reporter, part-time. But that was kind of an interesting comeback, wasn't it, here? And you'll hear her response.
Sorry, have you ever paid a tariff? Because I have.
They
don't get charged on foreign companies. They get charged on the importers.
And ultimately, when we have fair and balanced trade, which the American people have not seen in decades, as I said at the beginning, revenues will stay here, wages will go up, and our country will be made wealthy again. And I think it's insulting that you are trying to test my knowledge of economics and the decisions that this president has made. I now regret giving a question to the Associated Press.
Oh, there you go, Carolyn, slapping down the AP. You know, I would kind of take her side on half of that, and I don't understand why that guy had to personalize it that way. I have. Well, my question would be how? What in what form did you pay a tariff? But I also think that there's something to this notion that, you know, we're talking about extending the Trump tax cuts, but we're also talking about tariffs that are going to increase pretty rapidly on some of these companies and some of the products, and it's just going to have to be passed along to us. So you can call that a tax cut or a taxi. I don't care what you call it. It's just going to be more money out of American taxpayers' pockets to buy some of these things. Will it maybe settle down? Is there a bigger picture philosophy? Sure, there is. Will that work? I'm nervous about that. I really am. Cut of the day coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.